Caitlin Erica grew up a devoted Catholic with a privileged lifestyle in the suburbs of Sydney. She adventured the world for 8 years until she received an internal calling to work as an erotic dancer in Berlin. Caitlin breaks taboos about stripping, declaring it liberated and anchored her into her own truth. Today, she helps women clear shame and reclaim their own sexuality as a feminine embodiment coach. In this episode, she shares her key insights about men, women, sexuality, and our unspoken needs that we need to overcome in order to relate in a more fulfilling way. Caitlin, I find your story so interesting because you pretty much break a lot of taboos and you break a lot of preconceptions. When people think of strippers or erotic dancers, they think of somebody who's come from a really difficult upbringing, someone who's forced, maybe a woman who's disempowered, or a woman maybe who's hungry for money. But with you, the story was completely different. This was part of your spiritual journey. It's something that brought you back to yourself and empowered you. And it's kind of been your training ground to empower other women. So why don't you start by sharing with me your key insights about men, women, and society from the work that you did in stripping?
Wow. Okay. Well, it was shocking for me as well. Like, I had those same preconceived ideas around strippers. So I went into the strip clubs really with a lens to learn. Mm-hmm. I knew that I was being initiated into something. So for me, I went in very curiously, and I really got to see how much shame is stored in the female body, mm-hmm. or projected onto the female body, especially around our reproductive organs, our womb, pussy, breasts. And this is the same organ group that we use to grow and nurture our babies if mm-hmm. we choose to have them. And I had actually trained as a birth doula before getting the message to become a stripper. So that was really key for me, kind of saying, oh, hang on, like there's really a lot of shame for women, and myself included. Mm-hmm. I was really repressed sexually. I had a lot of shame through just the world that I grew up in.
Yeah. And do you think did you notice the shame in yourself when you were feeling uncomfortable there, or the shame in the women, or the shame in the men? How did you start to notice this energy around the womb?
All of it. I definitely experienced like the shame from men, mm-hmm. as well, like, and their own shame. Yes. It's always their own, yeah. Right? But you'd walk in there and kind of the tension, like the energy can be quite dense. You can feel, some people feel awkward about being there. Some people feel awkward about enjoying themselves. A lot of people love it and they're not thinking of that. Like, you just see all of these different people having their own different experiences. And for me, there were moments where, you know, it was new territory for me, and I just keep asking myself, you know, am I okay with this? Oh, I guess I am. All right. And if I wasn't okay with that, I'd be like, okay, I'm not okay with this. Let's change this. But I definitely felt, my preconceived ideas kind of shattering and finding actually what was true for me, not what I had been told by society, family, church, school, what is appropriate or mm-hmm. what is respectable or okay or all of that stuff.
And I think that's really the journey for most people, whether they take it or not, or whether they have it in a practical coaching way or through life, is shattering these beliefs that we're conditioned into. And stripping, or, you know, this industry sounds very different to your upbringing and the life that you live, because you were always very spiritual. You were a devoted Catholic. So do you feel like you got that, you know, either it was an intuitive or a spiritual calling to enter a strip club because it would sort of balance out that early childhood conditioning? Or why do you think that was the place where you'd learn your lessons?
In hindsight, I can see it was just the journey that I needed to take. I came from the background of birthkeeping. I wanted to help women give birth. Mm-hmm. And birth all happens through the sex organs. It happens through these organs, and there's so much shame, right? So we've got this Madonna whore complex, this idea that women are either virginal and pure or they're sexual and she's the whore. And this idea that we can't integrate our purity, our honor, integrity, and our sexuality. And so when women go through pregnancy, birth, motherhood, they can often become really confused and like, well, how do I lose this part of myself? Do I leave that behind now that I'm a mother? Because I can't be a sexual woman and a mother. And then a lot of women will have the opposite experience where they find their sexuality through birth and motherhood. But there's definitely a link there and a lot of conditioning and confusion, shame, that we get, that we have the opportunity to clear up if we want a more integrated, harmonious life.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really profound link, because we do come into this world through sexual charge, right? That's the electricity, or that's the path of least resistance. That's the tension. And you speak about this tension within strip clubs, right? Different kinds of people being there for different reasons, the discomfort. But I'm wondering about your thoughts on, you know, because you're experienced as a doula, what are your thoughts on what that kind of shame that's held in the womb around those reproductive organs and around sexuality, what, how could that affect the child as the child comes out of a mother experiencing this, or a father projecting that?
I mean, there, I think a lot of the shame that we're experiencing is so subconscious, we don't even know it at a conscious level. Mm-hmm. So the pregnant woman isn't necessarily thinking, oh, I've got sexual shame. It's just, it's something that happens throughout life and we're not even necessarily aware of it. And it's in the small things. It's in a woman knowing her boundaries, or knowing what does and doesn't feel good. A lot of women don't know what they enjoy. And then we're in that place where we're looking for our partners, our sexual partners to save us. You know, I want you to find me. I want you to figure out how to press my buttons, because she hasn't been able to do it herself. And then when it comes to giving birth, she doesn't know what to ask for or what to demand in her birth scenario, because she's not in her body. So she doesn't even know what feels good. She doesn't know where her boundaries are. So it's in these really small pieces that it comes out, but life has kind of guided me to kind of rewind and see that's where it begins. It's this fear that we are not normal, that our nature is somehow wrong, and that my desires, my instincts are bad. And so then you don't trust your body. So how can we expect these women to birth in confidence if confidence in the female body hasn't been something that's been shown to us in a lot of examples?
Yeah, and I think anything we don't bring into the light, or anything we put shame on and want to push down, it becomes suppressed, but it begins to fester, right? It turns into its own monster. And with a lot of the men that I do work with, a lot of their issues within the relationship has come after children have come onto the scene, right? The stress, but also women can sometimes change. They can lose themselves. They can no longer see themselves as sexual. And that probably takes us back to the Madonna whore complex, where there's this view in society of women that they can only be one or the other. They can't be both, which I think for men and the husband is really difficult, right? So you're either getting your needs met outside of the relationship, you know, going to a strip club, or, you know, paying for sex, or you're feeling really unfulfilled, right? And that causes all sorts of issues. So I'm wondering what you learnt about men, masculinity, and, you know, the masculine and the feminine within working in these environments where you're dealing with a lot of men and in a very unique way.
Yeah, I want to speak to what you just shared, just because I would speak to a lot of men who were feeling exactly that, who love their wives, but felt like their wives had kind of become a ghost of herself, especially after children. You know, my wife, she's not comfortable in her body anymore. And I would try to explain some of that female side of this and say, you know, well, she's been through pregnancy. She might not feel like her body is hers anymore. She's been sharing her body, giving so much of herself. And I would always tell them, you know, I would say that a woman can feel the difference between when you want to, if you, the difference between you wanting to have sex mm-hmm. and you wanting to have sex with her.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, how about you just literally set a timer for 40 minutes and just worship her body and don't go anywhere near the erogenous zones. Don't go near her breasts, her vulva, and just, you know, like kiss her feet, kiss her legs, kiss the parts of her body that you don't think of as sexual and mm-hmm. just pour love into her. Just let her know that it's her that you want, not that you want something from her. And it, like, it's those, these little things that women know, you know, like any woman listening to this is like, hell yeah, of course, yeah, that's my dream. Yeah. I'm not even pregnant. I've never had kids. I still want that. And just having that awareness to be like, just don't be another person who needs something from her.
Yes. And I think, you know, obviously women and sex have been the commodity and, you know, one of the longest professions in history. So I think sex for women is very much what happens outside of intercourse, you know, let alone sex. And I think it's so hard for men to understand this because males and females, that our bodies, our biology, our conditioning is so, so different. And we're getting all these confusing narratives that we should be the same, right? Mm. And it's not helping us to understand each other. And a really interesting thing that you shared was something about a client of yours that, you know, his friends bought him a lap dance and he just didn't want to be there. But the way that you interacted with him, the type of feminine energy that you gave him, because you're extremely feminine, you know, you're extremely present. I don't know if you were like that back then, completely changed his dynamic. So can you share a little bit of experiences with different types of men that you dealt with and different types of energies, you know, that you had to maybe act on, that you had to shift in order to create that experience for the client?
Yeah. So that example was a man who was bought a lap dance, or a private dance really, it was a no touching show, bought a show from one of his friends. And I'd literally walked out of another dance and then someone kind of pulled me into the room, said, hey, you freak, can I, you know, get book a dance with you? I said, sure. And I went into the room. I said, oh, you're not coming? He said, no, it's for my friend. And so I get in there and he's like slumped, he's not looking like he wants to be there at all. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this is going to be interesting. You know, it's not easy to dance for someone who doesn't want to be there. And I just start dancing and I'm just looking him in the eyes and I'm standing about a meter from him. And he just starts saying, wow, I'm really surprised. And I said, what are you surprised at? Are you surprised that you're here? He said, no, I'm surprised that I'm enjoying this. I said, you didn't think you'd enjoy it? He said, no, I didn't want to be here. My friend booked me a show and then ran away. And I just kept dancing for him. And again, he didn't touch me. And what I was doing was looking in his eyes. And just in my gift, my service is to just honor him. Just with my energy, my presence, that feminine, just sharing him in some feminine energy and just really from my heart, from my mind, sharing him with this energy of, you deserve this. You just deserve this time to be seen, to be honored. And honor is really the word that I would always think of and come up mm-hmm. for me. And he said, I've been married for 10 years. I've never experienced anything like this. And I just said, well, you deserve it. And so sometimes it's not even sexual. It's just intimacy. It's just that time, that presence, that moment, looking into someone's eyes, letting them know that they're special, that they're worthy, that they mean something. And then there'd be other guys who are, you know, just there to party. And they want the tricks. They don't want the intimacy so much. So, you know, you get everyone, you get every type.
And I guess from my perspective of working with men, you know, it also shows two different categories of men, the ones that maybe are not getting their physical needs met in the relationship, who are maybe coming there or for, you know, to look at a woman dance for them, but also not getting their validation, right? Not getting external validation. They might be doing really well at work, that people might look up to them in that space, but at home, their wife is already sick of them. She's used to them. You know, she doesn't want to deal with their habits anymore. And so they get that validation. And then you have the men who just don't feel enough, or that there's a deep emotional gap that their partner isn't meeting. So, you know, I'm not promoting that this is the outlet for it, but I think it really shows that we've got something disconnected within relationships and society, because men don't really understand what they're seeking. Like this man who, you know, was sitting there and thought he wouldn't enjoy getting this connection with you. And women don't really know how to step into their feminine energy a lot of the time. So instead they're sleeping with men, maybe they're getting plastic surgery or they're trying to improve their career. But deep down, all women want love and connection, and all men want love and connection, because feminine energy is so life-giving. It's so powerful.
It is. And it was a man who showed that to me and reflected that to me. It was me doing, you know, one of my first private dances. And again, I'm standing a meter away from him. And it just clicked that this guy had paid money to get into the club. And then he'd paid more money to get into a room with me. And I wasn't even touching him. And he was just looking up at me in awe. And I thought, wow, this just the feminine energy, just to be in a room with me or mm-hmm. with a woman, just to be close to her, to be showered in this feminine energy, is so valuable to you. It's so meaningful to you. It's worth something. And I realized he was reflecting to me the power that I have as a woman. And I thought, funny that he knows what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize what I had. And most women don't know what we have.
No.
And how impactful it is. And we live in this patriarchy, and God love the patriarchy for so many reasons. But we're in a society that is very concerned with what we're doing, what we're achieving. It's very much in the physical realm of mm-hmm. action, quantifiable calculations of success.
Yeah, very masculine.
Very
masculine world.
Yeah. And the feminine is all about the undercurrents, the being instead of the doing. And so sometimes it's hard for us to pinpoint our value. But a woman, she can be a man's muse. She'll make, it's all well and good to dot the I's and cross the T's and to, you know, we got to bring home the bread and put a shelter over our heads. But we can't forget that, you know, a woman in her feminine makes life worth living.
Yes.
She adds the color. She 100%. Adds the art, the creativity.
And men tend to live longer when they have a woman and particularly love in their life, because I actually believe it produces a certain chemical, a life-giving chemical. And I find actually the most masculine men, they need women around them the most, right? Because they actually can't access the feminine in any other way. They can't get on their emotional side. They're just not built like that. But when they're with a woman, they're able to open their heart and relax in that way. So I think a lot of the things that you, the insights that you received and the things that you shared, like some of them, you know, make me shiver, because they really help you to understand how powerful women are, and how powerful men are, and how powerful that connection in relationships is. And
we've just got to see each other.
We just have to see each other and understand our differences and continue to open our heart as well. Because I also have a little bit of a theory, and I think it may be a bit controversial, but the powers that be almost want to keep us disconnected from that loving connection. Because when two people are so connected, they produce energy, they produce chemistry. You know, a man will do a lot for the people that he loves, more than, you know, when he wants to hate or when he wants to kill. Like people, you know, mothers will do a lot more for love than these other emotions. So it's such a powerful, untapped resource. And, you know, that's why I think the work that we're doing simultaneously is really good. So I also wanted to understand what led you to do feminine embodiment work? What were you seeing in women, like outside of stripping, inside of stripping, that they could use in their life.
I think, as you said, this untapped resource of power, mm-hmm. just women not realizing how much they have. And I joke to my clients that I'm actually just a window cleaner. Like my job is just to clean away these smears that stop a woman from seeing her magnificence. And I really realize that the birth work will probably come back later, but how I can be more impactful is helping women to feel safe and mm-hmm. sovereign and sexy in their bodies and just take full ownership of their experience, their expression. You know, there's so many stories of women feeling too much and not enough mm-hmm. at the same time, and just helping women to come back to their bodies, to trust their bodies, to trust their intuition and realize that they are more than enough and not too much and so powerful. I just want for women to see themselves.
Mm, and I think a lot of men want that in women as well. You know, the feminine has been suppressed because I do believe it's extremely powerful and it can control men to a degree. But for, you know, a man in a relationship with his wife, after a certain point, he realizes that if the woman is not happy or she's not fulfilled or if she's not producing these positive hormones, then no one is happy. And I actually think it's really important to do this type of work before you give birth, because there's only, if you don't have enough in yourself, especially as a woman, you can't give much to your children, let alone your husband.
Absolutely. We've got to give from overflow.
Yeah.
And we've got to fill our cup and give from overflow, because as you said, like the woman so often is holding everything together.
Yeah.
And we have this idea again in this, the patriarchal system that expects us to just burn out and do and achieve, doesn't value rest, doesn't see how rest can create more for us, that can create more efficiency. And so we think that rest, self-care is a luxury. We feel guilty about taking it, but actually it's an act of service.
Mm.
When we look after ourselves, then we can really make some change. So yeah, exactly. If these women get to this work sooner, they're going to be so much powerful in birth, love, life, marriage, dating, all areas.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, because, you know, we live in such a liberated society. Women can work, they can wear, you know, a short dress, they can walk on the street. Particularly, you know, we both live in Bondi, and I noticed when I moved to Bondi, I could walk from the beach to my house in a bikini. I would walk past backpackers, I'd walk past Hasidic Jews, and no one would look at me twice, which was a really interesting feeling. I didn't know whether to think this was a good thing or a bad thing, but we're so liberated externally and I think sexually as well. Why do you think women are lacking that connection with themselves, feeling sexy or feeling good in their body? What do you think is going on there?
I think for a lot of us, we've grown up with shame. We've learned to, feel bad about ourselves in some way. And then other than that, we just don't prioritize our pleasure, rest, revitalization. There's a mm-hmm. lot of pressure on ourselves. And when we're not going slow, when we're putting so much pressure on ourselves, we don't take the time to fill our cup and to activate our eros mm-hmm. and to feel, to live from our bodies and to feel what that feels like. And all of the men that I've spoken to in the strip clubs, whenever I talk about the work that I would do, their eyes would always light up and they'd say, I wish my wife would give herself something like this. Because a man wants to see his woman thriving and shining and experiencing herself with delight. Like they want that for us so much, but we're so used to giving, and just overexerting ourselves that mm-hmm. we've got nothing left in the tank. And then we're no good for anything or anyone.
Yeah, no, and we're even bad, right? We become resentful, we become cranky, and that affects the whole family or it affects our workplace, right? Working with a lot of women or a lot of females in one office, if someone's not in a good mood or there's something going on, you can feel it, right? Mm. If you're in a workspace with men, they might throw A few comments here or there, but then the energy is cleared, right? With women, they can really store that energy. So I'm wondering, for any man listening who might be experiencing their wife going through maybe low self-esteem or going through some anxiety or kind of not feeling very sexual or not very open emotionally to him, what advice would you give to him to help her to open up besides doing your trainings?
Besides doing my courses, just to shower her in adoration, mm-hmm. just to really, and to be mindful that women are cyclical. Mm-hmm. We have a yes. hormonal cycle that is entirely different to a man's hormonal rhythms. And we are not linear. We are not meant to just be at one speed full time. We move in cycles. We've got so many things happening. We need rest and we need breaks and we need someone to rub our back or cook for us occasionally. And so if a man can be aware of that, that, you know, that she just needs some love and attention, just give her your presence for a moment.
Yeah, because the 9-to-5, 5-day-a-week work week was built for men, right? We're still going off an old system. And men are more like rubber bands. They go, 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 and then they go into their cave and rest, whereas women are more cyclical. So even a woman working in a masculine world, she's already off kilter energetically, hormonally, and that's why we're seeing so many health issues that go undiagnosed for years with women, right? Because we're really out of balance.
Yeah. And the narrative is that anything a man can do, I have to be able to do whilst bleeding.
Yes. That's also another thing, right? So we don't want to forget that a woman's responsibility, whether she chooses it or not, is to give birth to children. And that's how her whole body is geared.
Biologically.
Right? There's 5 days where, you know, without these inventions that we're putting inside our body would simply be bleeding into the earth, right? That's not a time for pressure. And I've noticed that very much in myself because I never used to experience much PMS. But particularly with the business and doing a lot of projects, when I'm not listening to my cycles, my emotions can become out of control where I'm not allowing myself to rest and repair. And, you know, my partner has actually started to notice it before me and start to ask me beforehand what part of the cycle I'm in. So I think that's a really great understanding to have of our differences. And what advice would you give to women? You've already given some really great insights that I'm going to always remember. But what insights would you give to women to either create a relationship with a man or to kind of rekindle a relationship with their partner or husband of many years? What can they do to create more love and connection and bring that spark back?
Well, a lot of it is going to start with her. Mm-hmm. When she gives herself time, when she starts to know what she wants and what lights her up, and then she can bring that into the relationship. And then in terms of more directly with her partner, if we're looking at polarity and, you know, feminine masculine mm-hmm. energetics, just letting him lead, mm-hmm. like give him a chance to lead. There was something.
What if he's not a good leader though? So my premise is, and why I love coaching men, is because I believe that when they change and when they step into their leadership and manage their stress, then the woman will follow, right? Because mm-hmm. he's in control, he's in charge, she feels safe with him, she feels secure. Mm-hmm. But when the man doesn't provide that safety of leadership, of knowing himself, of not suppressing but managing his negative emotions and not knowing what to do next, I feel like a lot of women can take control then, right? They're, mm-hmm. they're in fear, or they can't let go. They can't treat him like a king. So what would you recommend to women who have a partner who maybe isn't doing this kind of work or is not stepping into his leadership? Is it safe to let a man lead?
So there's, mm-hmm. every scenario is different. There's a story that's coming to my mind. When I was doing some doula training course, there was a woman who said she got great advice from a man and she'd figured it out, because she would, you know, tell her husband, maybe it was her husband, you know, okay, change his nappy and don't forget this. And he just said, tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to do it. And she was like, that's okay, genius. You know, because some stuff is not their territory.
No.
You know, they're like, okay, this is new. Okay, feedback, how do I? And so initially there might need to be some more instruction. But when we get so controlling over the finer details, instead of saying, hey, I would really love this. And also when we can come from that place of vulnerability and keeping it fun and even flirtatious, mm-hmm. or, you know what, I would love from you, as opposed to being on your high horse and speaking down at your partner, or you never do this, you don't do this. It's very much, you know, blaming and mm-hmm. accusing. It's not a good ground for anything to flourish. But coming from that space of, this is what I love, this is what would really light me up, this is what I need, can we do this, can we try this? You know, trying to, and that can be hard and it can be exhausting, but, you know, if what you're looking for is worth it, then that's the give and take, mm-hmm. you know, like we might have to try and explain it a few times or even say, I feel like you're not hearing me, but always coming from that nonviolent communication. This is what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm feeling, as opposed to you pointed, accusatory. It's just never going to go well.
No, and I don't think a lot of women realize just how sensitive men actually are, especially the ones that seem the hardest from the outside or the most in control externally, because that's sort of like the armor that they've built to protect their emotions. Because for a long time, and even now, men haven't had a space to release their emotions. For a lot of men, it is actually through sex, right? So women feel like they're just sort of this vessel or a tool for relief.
Mm.
So that's where the disconnect
starts.
When
we feel like we're being used again.
Yeah, being used.
You want something from me.
And in truth, men often do, right? Because they need that energy from women. They need that feminine because they can't get onto that side. But it's often not through the way that women perceive it.
Mm.
So this understanding of each other, you know, understanding, you know, and our partner's usually our mirror. So even though our mirror looks different, what is actually going on with them that's going on with us,
mm.
right? Yeah. So I'm wondering, on a personal level, these experiences that you've had, you know, you've traveled for 8 years, you've had an amazing life experience, working in strip clubs in Berlin, in Sydney, coaching women, learning all these really important insights, I think, about yourselves and yourself and how to relate. How has that affected or changed your intimate relationships with men?
Going into the strip clubs was one of the pivotal points in my journey when I was really learning to lean into my feminine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a classic example of a woman who...
Well, you're not always this soft and feminine, because when I'm around you, I feel like I need a... I'm a bloke. But so you weren't always like this. This
is no, not at all. Cultivate. It's something that I had to learn to trust.
Yeah.
Because in this, again, in this patriarchal society,
mm-hmm.
the gifts of the feminine are not understood and really recognized. And so many energetic principles of the feminine are bastardized and feared. You know, if a woman is intuitive, she's, you know, her head's up in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Or if she doesn't stick to the plan because she likes to go with the flow and feel into her rhythms, or if she listens to her body and she thought she would be up for something, but then on the day her body's saying no. And if she chooses to put her authority into her body instead of into the external resources, then she's flaky, she's unreliable. Mm-hmm. If a woman is sexual, she's a slut. You know, there's a lot of that slut shaming. So all of these aspects are often really feared and then suppressed and not trusted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be feminine. I don't want to be a girly girl. And look.
So was that you growing up? Were you more of a tomboy, or were you more direct? Because you're very independent, you know, you've lived all over the world.
Yeah, I was, pretty independent, wanted to be in control of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't leaning into my feminine. Mm-hmm. I wasn't relaxing into that. And so my teacher, my first teacher, she was trying to explain to me, you're moving into the feminine. I didn't understand what she was talking about.
It's quite hard
I'm like,
to
what?
Understand.
But sure.
When you were a little bit more in your masculine, we'll just call it more in your masculine.
Yeah.
When after you had your stripping experience and you stepped into your feminine, do you feel like you were attracted to or attracting different types of men? I'm not sure if you're in a relationship now or if you're single.
No, I'm single now. I'm just thinking back and I'm...
Has it changed your perspective of men or what you need?
I don't know that I was attracted to different men or attracting mm-hmm. different men, but I saw them differently.
Yes. And what was the
flip? I've always loved men.
Yeah.
But I just now can see more of, and again, I'm speaking to feminine essence women and masculine essenced men.
Mm-hmm. So what are you seeing more of? Share it with us. What did you see in men through that experience?
I just probably didn't appreciate. I didn't see the difference and therefore didn't see the give and take so much. Mm-hmm. You know, like men were just like other humans, you know, and like we're teammates, we're doing this, in it together.
More we're the
it's
same.
A collaboration.
Right, yeah.
But now it's like, I love men. Simple things, like I was...
What have you seen in them that made you appreciate them more? Because it sounds like you've, not that you had a negative perspective of men, but maybe like we're the same. I can do as much as you or just whatever.
Yeah, I think I love that men can be more upfront or abrupt about things where I can like get stuck in my head and go around in circles and they'll just like clarify something or simplify something. Men are so good at simplifying things. It's like, I love that. And
I think in this way, like even in long-term relationships, we see that attraction is really about our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Attraction doesn't have to die. You don't have to be physically attracted to someone to feel that connection. It's really about taking away these layers of perception and finding some type of appreciation or opening ourselves up, particularly as women.
Mm. Yeah. But I mean, men are gorgeous.
Yeah.
What's not to love? Yeah, they're beautiful. I think, recently I was moving some equipment. It was really heavy. And previously I'd be like, oh, I have to be able to do this myself. I'm like, I can. But hang on, how about you receive? How about you go and ask for help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and understand that, you know, often like a man will love to show up.
Give them the gift.
Men
want that gift.
So I'd go over and you know, found some guys and I said, hey, can you help me with this equipment? It's quite heavy. And I was saying I was joking, I love men. And, you know, one of the guys is like, yeah, I'm so manly because he'd never, you know, never considered himself that kind of that stereotypical mm-hmm. masculine. But just in that, the masculine presence, the masculine willingness, there's no package for it. It can look or be any, you know, shape, size, color. It's like, it's an energy.
Yeah. And as you're saying this, it's like both a man and a woman feel more balanced and more themselves when they're more so in their feminine as a woman and a man is more so in his masculine, even though he might not be, you know, super macho bloke, but he actually feels more balanced in that masculine energy, which you gave this guy the gift of experiencing.
Embracing my inner damsel.
Yeah, I love it. So just to conclude our chat, there's probably so many things I can ask you and so many topics to go into because it's really unique, the experience that you had and, you know, what you're also doing with women. I think it's really important and even for women to connect more so with the feminine as well. Although, you know, there's been these fights for female rights, I do feel a lot of the time women can not support other women. There's a lot of that energy in the business world because we are more in our masculine or even over men. We also have been conditioned to fight over our resources or our providers. So I think it's a really important thing for women just to trust other women as well. So I want to ask you just to conclude, What do you see being the future of strip clubs and the future of male-female relationships? Just from two perspectives, there's a lot of narrative around where gender relationships are going with social media, with, I guess, men becoming more feminine, women becoming more powerful in the world. And also, I've always thought that stripping was probably the hardest job you can do, right? So you're wearing heels, you're out all night, you're dancing, you're selling, you're being sweet, you're doing it all with a smile, you're dealing with rejection. So where do you see the future of strip clubs and relationships?
Well, stripping...
Will strip clubs even exist for men in the future?
Oof.
Or is there still a need?
I loved working in the clubs. I had a very positive experience. Mm-hmm. It's not black and white. It's not one thing for every woman. And I also think that there's a great opportunity for strip clubs to evolve into something different. One of my events is, it's like a pop-up strip club for one night only, where the guests are the dancers. Mm-hmm. And so it's for women only. The stage is open to everyone. And it's a chance for women to come and be celebrated by other women, because there is so much competition in the sisterhood, mm-hmm. and fear around, you know, how other women are looking at you. And so it's a place for women to take up space, get rid of the thoughts around being too much or not enough, and to be celebrated by the sisterhood and to revel in our sensuality without it needing to go anywhere, mm-hmm. without it being transactional, without someone needing something for us, yeah. just to dip into that part of our nature. And actually those events feel really ancient to me. Like that, the energy in that room, it's like a remembering of something that...
Well, women did that in ancient times. They would gather together, they would dance, and women connected more with women in ancient times than with men.
Yeah.
Men had their own thing, women had their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the future that I'm creating for strip clubs. Which is really beautiful and exciting. I don't know what commercial generic strip clubs will become, but I'm interested to see mm-hmm. how they do evolve. I would like to see even more reverence, less shame for not just in that, just anyone who attends a strip club, who goes in there. There's just a lot that humanity as a whole we have to work through, which is fine. It's part of our evolution. And what was your other question?
I know it was a big question.
Male, female.
Yeah. Do you think monogamy is something that can last, or do you think that the way people need to be is, you know, polygamous?
Personally, I'm a big fan of monogamy and marriage. It just works for me.
Yeah.
When I am with someone, everything else kind of fades,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like my heart points one direction in a romantic sense.
And just on that note, because it always brings up other things, if everyone was in this loving, connected, monogamous relationship, right, where you're really feeling that energy, almost like what you described, you know, with this man having a lap dance, he was just so blown away by the connection. Do you think there'll even be a need for, you know, strip clubs, affairs, all these kinds of issues?
No. I would love to see more women deeply anchored in their body, yeah. in full ownership of their sensuality and sexuality. And exactly as you said, there wouldn't be such a need for, or there wouldn't be such a pull or a calling for men to seek this out at a club.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for taken men. Then single men, it's different. Widows, you know, there's a variety of men that attend,
yes.
but yeah, I'd hope that there's less of a need for them, because women just ooze that when she walks down the street.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think monogamy is the answer, not always the easiest answer, but that's really, I think, the container that allows us to heal our wounds and become our most powerful self and harness our own energy.
Hmm. I've also got friends who are non-monogamous, and that works for them. I don't know what's outside of myself, but I know for me, I'm team monogamy.
Thank you so much, Caitlin. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, to open up my mind and, you know, just to create these different neural pathways, which I think is important for everybody. So just like yourself, you went into something that felt icky for you, that triggered you, but it's created this whole other opening. And I think it's going to help so many women and so many men. And, you know, I might even do your class when it's coming out next.
Yeah, so come to celebrate her.